Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is our review show, episode number 355. And we got the regular cast together again tonight. It's been a while since the three of us have been recording together. So it's good to be back. Good to see you guys face to face here, and good to be recording again.
Yeah. If everything's working right, I've got different notifications here telling me that things did not go as I expected, but looks like we're good. Forgot how to do this after being gone for a month, you know. It's
when
weird.
Things don't go as expected, it could be bad.
It could. We're about to find out.
Oh, boy. Let's hope it was better than the movie chatter from last week.
Oh, my gosh. So for those who don't know, Lou and I sat down to do Snake Eyes on movie chatter on Tuesday. We got about 25 minutes through the live stream, and I still don't know exactly what happened. I think maybe Windows Update started glitching because it would just randomly shut something down. Like, first it was Skype. So I brought Skype back up, and we were good for, like, what, another 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, 8 to 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden OBS goes down, which is like the studio interface for the stream. And then after that, Skype went down again. And then pretty soon something else went down. Didn't give me any notification that it was going to reboot or it was trying to do the updates or anything like that. I rebooted and it did an update and everything was fine, but like at that point things just randomly shut down. So go Microsoft.
Right, yeah.
Yay. That was exciting. So we're still going to cover Snake Eyes, but I think we're going to get Robin on, right?
Yeah, she's going to watch it now. We had a little extra time now, so she's going to watch Snake Eyes, and then we will do that, the three of us.
Okay.
So
now Tim, are you going to watch Snake Eyes with her?
Yeah, if certainly if I can, I will. I'm definitely interested. So
cool. Awesome. Well, so we don't have a lot of overlapping stuff this week between the three of us. You know, Eric, you and I have Snake Eyes.
Yes.
That we're going to cover in detail, you know, on Tuesday. But I mean, for now, let's give our brief thoughts on this. Maybe thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Overall impressions. What'd you think?
So this is going to be so interesting on Tuesday because we got all of like our excitement and the creative things we wanted to see out of the way now. So now it feels like we're just like rehashing the same lines again. But, you know, I grew up on G.I. Joe and I know they took kind of a radically different direction with the character origin. I'm kind of OK with it because it is properly modernized, I think. I think the choreography is good. The casting for most of the movie was spot on. The writing for most of the movie was spot on. There was kind of a plot hole at the end that bothered me. And there were a couple of characters I felt were so badly written as to become major distractions for parts of the movie. So overall, I would say I liked it. I think that it's definitely the best toy line adaptation to a film. With maybe the first Transformers movie being the exception. But I mean, this is solidly up there. It's way better than the other G.I. Joe films. I thought it was good. Not great, but it was good.
Okay.
What'd you think?
You know, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not hard to be better than what we had before.
No.
So, you know, in terms of that, it was a step up from the original G.I. Joe stuff we had. But
yeah.
You know, like you said, and we covered this and we'll cover it again when we do movie chatter. But, you know, for the most part, it was good. There's a few things in the beginning of the movie that were kind of like, yeah, OK, it's kind of weird the way they shot that, or, you know, that's not the way that would really happen. I like things to be a little more realistic in these movies. I know we're talking about a toy franchise being brought to screen. But
well, and again, compared to the original G.I. Joe films that came out 10 years ago.
100%.
A billion times more realistic.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, but there were some things that were off.
Yeah. Yeah, but overall, I enjoyed it. You know, I'm glad I watched it, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Robin can add to our discussion on Tuesday, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Tim, have you seen anything else new? What's been on your docket?
Quite a few new things. Something that we actually watched a lot of stuff on Prime over the last few weeks. An Inspector Calls is one of those that it actually came out in 2015. We hadn't done something that we had heard of before. There really isn't any particularly like remarkable cast that, you know, a lot of us would, you know, really be familiar with. But basically what it's about, it's a mystery type of film where there's an inspector that shows up to a house, which has a number of family members that were there for dinner and such, and starts asking them questions about a woman and who had committed suicide, and tries to you know, find out what they might know about it. There are some things that are revealed throughout. It is not very predictable. It was written very, very well. Really liked it. So it's something I would definitely recommend.
It sounds, and I know that almost any of this style of movie sounds this way, but it sounds a lot like Knives Out. How would you compare it to that?
There are a lot of similarities to Knives Out. There's much less of a comedy aspect to it. This is much more drama, much more, mystery rooted.
Takes itself more seriously, I guess.
Yeah, and there are also less things like practically everything in the movie, aside from a couple things here and there, practically everything is contained to the house. Whereas Knives Out does venture outside the house for various things, throughout the movie. Still, a lot of it's still in the house, but this one is almost completely in the house and rooted in these discussions that they're having. So, yeah.
Okay.
Quite good. The other one is The Courier. And this is also on Prime. This came out last year. This has Benedict Cumberbatch in it. Just taking a quick look through the cast list here. See if there's anyone else in particular that jumps out at me. There isn't. This was a really well done movie. This is a set in World War II. It is based on a true story of someone who was a manufacturing salesperson, and he was enlisted jointly by the CIA and MI6 to, this was after World War II. It was early in the Cold War, to go to the Soviet Union and make contact with kind of a double agent that they had there, and to act as a courier to bring back certain pieces of intelligence that, would help them throughout the Cold War. Really, really well done. Similarly, I mean, there were some things in it. I mean, just kind of, you can kind of tell where the story is going, but it's done like very, very interesting. Really, really well. Great movie. I would also recommend it.
Okay, cool. Now, Tim, Eric, you said you had seen something I was planning on watching, and I want to hear more about this. Reminiscent was a recent release on,
yes.
Is that Netflix, or was that?
Well, it's
Prime.
So I kind of feel like we lucked out this week because we've got at least three movies that are both in theaters, and two of those three are also at home. So, we get to cover some fairly recent stuff. Reminiscence is one that is in theaters, but it is also, off the top of my head, I think it's HBO Max.
Oh, that does sound right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's HBO Max. It's got Hugh Jackman and Tandy. Why am I blanking on her name now?
Newton?
Yes, Newton from Westworld and Solo. And it's also, I believe it's written and directed by Lisa Joy, who is one of the people who, I don't know if she was one of the showrunners on Westworld, but
Westworld,
she's like way high up there. It's interesting. So it's set in Miami in the near future, and most of the city's flooded. So people kind of think Venice. People live in like the top halves of the high rises, and they kind of take boats, and there's some train rails where it's kind of like slicing through just the top layer of the water and et cetera.
Interesting.
And Hugh Jackman has some technology, which I guess is like, it's uncommon, but it exists, and police departments use it and stuff, but where you can basically sit in a sensory deprivation tank, and someone can like walk you through your memories and see them displayed in like a holographic screen. They get this client, and there's some weird things going on. They see the memories, and antics ensue. I don't want to say too much because it's a very spoiler heavy movie, and you don't really want to reveal too much of the plot, but it's a lot of kind of layered stuff where you're watching a scene, and just when you think you figured it out, you realize, oh, hey, no, wait, we're watching a memory. And then how does that fit in with where we are now? Wait a minute, where are we now? Mm. So it's one of those kind of things. Okay. It's good, and I have a lot of respect for how difficult it must have been to structure the narrative the way it is. And they succeeded in making a narrative that I don't think is too confusing. I kind of got to the end and didn't care.
Yeah.
It's hard because I think real hard sci-fi fans are going to like it. I have a hard time recommending it. The pacing is slow. It starts to ramp up a little bit, but you have a hard time caring about any of the characters. You have a hard time following most of what's going on. And as soon as you kind of figure out what's going on, you're like, oh, I get it now. Well, now we've moved on to something else that you don't get. Until you get to the end of that section, then you're like, oh, okay, now I get that. But then you're back to being confused again. So you spend a lot of the movie kind of trying to figure out where things are actually at. And then you get to the end of the movie and there's the reveal. And you're like, wait a minute, what? Okay. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's that? Why do I care about that? I think I'd maybe pass on it.
It's because, you know, it's funny. I like movies that you got to figure things out along the way, but when you get to the end and you're going, okay, you know, then it kind of gives you pause to, well, did I just waste, you know, 2 hours on this thing or not?
Yeah. Like it's one of those situations where, you know, I guess maybe today's generations aren't as familiar with this phrase, but, you know, the butler did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because nobody suspects the butler, because it's always, you know, the wealthy ex-wife, or it's the, you know, the son who was written out of the will or something like that. And then it turns out, oh, it's the butler, the guy kind of standing in the background all along. And now it's become kind of a trope for generations now, but early on it was like, oh wow, I never would have thought of that character. Well, it's kind of the same thing. Like there's this character who's kind of in the background for most of the movie, and he has this major involvement with part of the plot at the end, but there's no foreshadowing for it. And there's kind of an explanation, but you're like, there's no way anybody could have come to that conclusion and had it make it any sense. So then you get to the end and you're like, oh, well, okay. Yeah, I guess. And then you watch like the final fight scene and it's done. So it's one thing when the butler did it and it's clever. It's another thing when the neighbor across the street and two doors down, who you saw at the beginning of the movie mowing his lawn, did it. And you're like, wait a minute, they brought that guy back from like the opening credits? I'm exaggerating, but it's almost that level. Like, yeah, I would pass it probably unless you're really bored.
Okay.
But
fair.
I did get to go see Free Guy in the theaters.
Ooh. Okay. Do tell.
And I want to say something real quick, though, because I don't think we posted that thing that you and I did, Lou.
I thought we attached that to a Ram show Tim and I did.
Oh, okay. Okay. Did well, it? For those who haven't heard my little speech on this, I'll give you the quick 30-second version. I've been telling people for a while that I had a system. I can check out what seats are taken at my local theater, and if there are no seats taken, and it's during like off hours or something, I feel comfortable going into the theater, and I'm fully vaccinated and stuff, but I feel comfortable going into the theater and seeing the movie because, you know, there's like four people in the theater and we're spaced out and I feel like it's okay. Well, I got burned. I got there for Free Guy opening day, but it was like lunchtime on a work day. And there were like maybe six people who had tickets, myself included. I thought, okay, not a big deal. And we get there and the theater wasn't full, but it was darn close. And the Alamo no longer does the seat buffering around people anymore.
Because, oh, really?
And I talked to both the manager at the Alamo, and the regional manager happened to be there visiting. Talked to her too. Mm. The state governor no longer mandates it. And I said, yeah, you know that those are like minimum requirements, yeah. Right? You can still take a step beyond that to protect your employees and your customers, right? It doesn't mean you can't still do it. It's a really freaking good idea. I come here because you guys have it or used to. Just because it's not required doesn't mean you shouldn't still keep it in place. It's a way to keep people safe.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they were sympathetic and they listened. Like, I'll give them credit for that. They genuinely listened. They promised me they would upchannel the feedback to corporate. But they said we understand what you're saying. It's a corporate decision. I don't have the authority to supersede it. But anyway, so I've decided that I am almost certainly not going to be using that system anymore. I told you guys, in my opinion, I thought it was safe. So I wanted to come out and tell you guys I was wrong. So I felt like obligated to come out and tell you guys, because I don't want anybody else doing that and getting sick and then saying, well, Eric said it was a good idea. So, but a free guy, I thought was, you guys haven't seen it yet, right?
No.
Okay. It was fun. It was about what you would expect it to be. It was unpredictable enough to be interesting, but also shallow enough to not be super interesting. And it was just lighthearted and goofy and silly. And frankly, that's what I wanted. I kind of needed that kind of movie right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend it. I think it's definitely good. Like, if you watch the trailer and you think you're interested in it, you probably are. The trailer represented it well. And there's more to it than just what's in the trailer. But, you know, don't go thinking like it's got any deep plot like Ready Player One or anything like that. Like, it's pleasantly and enjoyably shallow.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. Well, I think I definitely want to see that, so I will.
I'd recommend it.
I'll wait till it's on video, though, because I'm still not ready to go. But in fact,
don't see it in the theaters.
I told you guys a while ago that they started charging me again for the Cinemark.
Fake movie pass.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm up to like 7 credits worth of movies I can go see. And I'm like, I'm not going to see them yet. I don't want to lose my credits. I don't want to just kill my account. So I emailed them and I said, hey, can I pause this for a bit? And they said, yeah, they'll pause it till the end of the year for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I said, okay. And they said, we'll revisit it at that point and see if you want to continue or not, you know, or we can pause it longer. So
good.
I'm happy with that. I mean, that was a good decision on their part. Yeah.
It's a better business decision to let you stay on as a customer and just reactivate it.
Exactly.
Rather than saying, no, you can't pause it. Just leave altogether. Yeah.
Just lose your credits and then never
come back
ever again. Right. So
that's good.
I'm happy with that. That's a good thing. If anybody's in that same situation, email them. They'll pause for you too, probably. So, something new for me, not brand new, because I think it came out last year. Tales from the Loop. This is an Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Prime. Series. It's 8 episodes. I don't know if there'll be a season 2. I'm only 3 episodes in to the 8 episode season, but I'm very intrigued. It's sci-fi. It's not a serial. It's not like you're continuing the story from episode to episode. They're all individual stories, but they're all interconnected. So what you've got is what you have in the first episode, you build from some of those characters that were, you know, tangentially associated with the story in the first episode. Now you get their story in the second episode. And then people that were associated with them, or maybe from the first one, you get it in the third episode. So you're building on the characters. It's going into the lives of these characters that are in this fictional town in Ohio that is home to the Center for Experimental Physics. It's an underground research facility known as the Loop. And that's where Tales from the Loop comes in. The researchers at this place, quote unquote, make the impossible possible.
So they could get me a date. is that what you're saying, Lou?
Let's
I'm on the wrong website.
Look
at that.
Far out on a limb.
Okay, that might be going too far.
That's okay. A bit of a stretch. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm three episodes in. It's really good stories. It's really good character development because it's about the characters. And I'm really hoping they do a season two.
So it's anthology stuff like Black Mirror, except it's unlike Black Mirror. It's all the same setting, and there's a lot of the characters are all there. It's just telling different points of view each episode.
I wouldn't say they're not all there, because like the characters in like episode three, you saw them in episode two. I don't even think we had any lines from them in episode two, but you knew who they were.
Okay.
And now you see their associate and say, okay, that's cool. And they've all got that little kind of a twist at the end where it's kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to say Tales from the Crypt, but you know, maybe you know, kind of a Twilight Zone-esque thing. Something at the end kind of clicks and you're like, okay. I see where you went with that. So it's definitely good sci-fi. I'm really happy I'm starting to watch it, and I'm going to power through the next five episodes pretty quickly, I'm sure. So
cool.
I would recommend watching that, Tales from the Loop.
Cool.
I have one more new thing.
Okay.
Unless, Tim, do you have any like recent stuff to cover?
Yeah, a couple things.
Yeah, go for it.
So let's see. Did one thing that I will throw a quick mention out there. We started watching Handmaid's Tale, which it's been out for a long time. We simply haven't watched it. We got interested in it. In the second season, I'm really enjoying it. Robin really enjoyed the first season. I don't disagree with her perspective that the second season kind of starts to get a little monotonous. But it's quite good. Really, really very compelling series, very adult, however, and yeah, very politically interesting as well. Let's see, The Walking Dead is back. Archer is back, continuing What If.
I want to go back to Archer and What If after we finish covering like the recent releases, though.
I do too.
Yeah.
Something else on Prime called Solos. Have you guys seen this yet?
Sounds familiar.
So this just released a couple months ago, and what this is that this is generally solo performances. It's an anthology thing, but there are some connections. Solo performances by different actors or actresses. It starts off with one that is done by Anne Hathaway. The second one, I believe, is Anthony Mackie. The third one, I think, is Helen Mirren. And it kind of continues there. And they are either having conversations with themselves, in very interesting sci-fi kinds of ways. Or there's like a conversation with someone else who's not seen. It's like over some kind of communication device. And so the camera is just solely focused on this one person. They're about maybe 20 to 30 minutes long each. Really, really good. Very interesting. And great actors, like really incredible actors that have done this. And so yeah, to check that out. I thought,
and
it was,
which network is that on? Good.
That's on Prime.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
And then the last thing for me is we went to go see a stage production of King Lear. So King Lear, Shakespeare, there's a theater troupe in Western Massachusetts called Shakespeare and Company. And every single summer, they do another Shakespeare play. They have these really terrific outdoor amphitheaters. So, like, you know, really cool seating. The stage is, like, right there. King Lear this year is headed up by Christopher Lloyd.
Nice.
Christopher Lloyd was, like, you know, if I wanted to, and then probably summarily get escorted off the premises, like I could have reached out and like touched him, like from.
because
we got front row seats, and like he's right there. Really, really fantastic production. Unfortunately, ours, because it's outdoors, ours did get cut a little bit short, like 15 or 20 minutes short, because a storm came in. And so the stage manager had to say, like, sorry, folks, but we can't. So
did they come out and spoil the story for everybody who hadn't seen it yet? Sorry, we're going to cut it here. The horses go over. They trample the crowd. The king jumps off the top of the castle. The queen rules over everybody. The end. Like, did they?
The stage manager absolutely did.
Good, good. Because I would be like, I would be upset if I sat through like a whole bunch of Shakespeare crap and then didn't even know how it ended. I'd be mad.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't give me the whole, Eric, it's not a spoiler. It's been around for 800,000 years.
So, yeah, it was really fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. I'm, you know, going to have to look out for some of the stuff every year that they do. And I don't know if they regularly, you know, involve like, you know, majorly known actors. But it was a really cool experience to see Christopher Lloyd.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Really, really neat. So that's what I got.
I have one more. I've got a bunch of other like older stuff that I've been seeing, but there's one of note that's a recent release. I think it just came out last week. In fact, it might have just come out. Might have just come out Friday, in fact. This is a Hulu exclusive, and it is called Only Murders in the Building.
We are very much looking forward to watching this.
Oh, I saw a trailer for that. Yeah.
So,
yeah, Robin and I are very excited
Steve
about
Martin,
watching this.
Martin Short and Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Seems like an odd pairing. And now, Steve Martin and Martin Short have done all kinds of things together, including several like stand-up specials and stuff. And I think, you know, Martin Short is a great like bit actor, comes up with some incredible characters and stuff. Steve Martin is a really intelligent guy, and to sit down and listen to him talk about the art of comedy and the mechanics of comedy is just, it's brilliant. And I've read his autobiography. I've watched his masterclass stuff on masterclass.com about comedy and things. Brilliant. But I have a hard time with the two of them on stage doing stuff. And they have this whole bit where they kind of like, they don't really like each other, but they're stuck working with each other. And you know, they're friends in real life. So the jokes always fall flat to me because I know they're just scripted and it's not, you know, it's just, it's a shtick and I don't know. But this is gold. This is so good. So they all live in an apartment building in New York City and there's a murder. And they all just coincidentally, like they have nothing in common with each other, but they just happen to all be fans of this particular true crimes podcast. So then they decide they're going to be amateur detectives and try to figure out like who actually murdered this person. They thought, why don't we start our own podcast? So they're starting a true crimes podcast. They're completely inept and incompetent at what they're doing. and it's, I think it's only like 5 or 6 episodes or a little over an hour long a piece. And they've only released 3 so far. The next one comes out Tuesday, and then the finale a week from Tuesday. Absolutely brilliant, though. I didn't think I was going to like it. Honestly, I was bored, and I said, what the heck? Hit the button. And I love it. It's incredible.
It's good to hear.
Okay.
It's very good. I recommend you drop whatever you're doing and watch it. Again, Hulu exclusive, so you do have to have Hulu. But yeah, really good stuff.
Nice. So one thing we've all talked about recently, What If?
What
this
If what?
The Disney Plus, Eric.
Hey, I could have milked that joke a lot longer. Be grateful I let it drop.
I know.
Okay.
I know. You could have. No, this is the animated series on Disney Plus. This is the What If for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Where they take a story that we've all seen and turn it upside down or change
and
one little
pretend it's so
pit?
Bad that it's written by one of us. Yes.
What?
Because it's not like a real Marvel story. It's like a crappy thing, like if Eric had written it or Lou had written it or
no. Yeah. These are gold. I love these stories.
Well, so you would love my stories too.
Let's not go that far.
How do you know I didn't write these?
but they do feel a lot like fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know they'll take a certain story that we all know, like I don't know, Captain America, the first Avenger movie. They tell it in 25 minutes with a different take on it, and I love it. I mean, it's It's pure candy because it doesn't have any impact on the Marvel MCU stuff, at least not that we know of.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be something coming.
The multiverse thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of the most recent one? This is the one with Doctor Strange.
That one was really kind of dark.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of. Tremendously
dark.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, for those who don't know, it's based on an old running Marvel comic book series called What If? And they would just take random things like, you know, what if Spider-Man weren't bitten by a radioactive spider? What if Mary Jane was or something? All of these different scenarios. And this focuses exclusively on stuff that we saw from we'll call it the Thanos era of the MCU. And just really good stuff. The Doctor Strange one, not my favorite, but very creative. And I like the morality tale of going in and trying to fix things, trying to assume that you know what's best, despite all the warnings, and that you are going to go in and fix the world because you are so powerful that you can do it. And while, you know, I can appreciate the drive and the ambition and the desire, and it's out of a place of altruism, it's also out of a place of arrogance and presumption.
Yeah.
And it just, if you haven't seen it, we won't spoil it, but it just completely falls apart. And you know what? The one before that wasn't all that happy an ending either. I kind of had to warn my son, episodes 3 and 4, I'm like, dude, just so you know, these are kind of dark. These are sad endings. Whereas, you know, the Marvel Universe is happy. So look at it like it makes the real MCU a happier place, right? Because I wanted to make sure like he didn't start like, oh, wow, this stuff like sucks. Because it's really good stuff.
It really is. What I really appreciate about it is along with the creativity, the fact that this is a great medium for them to explore these other things, along with reinforcing that not every story has a happy ending.
Right.
You know, people want the happy ending typically in movies. I think in TV shows, they're a little bit more forgiving. If it's episodic, you can have, you know, some downers in there and some cliffhangers and that kind of stuff. Usually, ultimately, in the end, people want some kind of success. The interesting thing is that we saw in WandaVision, wasn't really a happy ending. Loki wasn't a happy ending. Falcon Winter Soldier was, I think, more of a happy ending than what we saw. Sure. From the other ones, but it's really interesting what Marvel's doing with it, that they're not like ending these things on, you know, that happiness high note.
Right.
They're really doing some realistic, grounded things within the bounds of a superhero universe anyhow. But yeah, I love what they're doing with What If in that regard. And the grittiness of these, I mean, these are definitely not intended for kids.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to have some depth of understanding, like, you know, Eric, like you said, of the morality of some of these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing the consequences, especially in this last one.
But, yeah,
you know,
this was much more mature
Doctor Strange
theme.
Of like,
it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can do these things and not have any repercussions because it's just one, you know,
one part of the multiverse.
Right. They can do whatever they want, make it as dark as they want, and yet we don't have to worry about, oh, we just killed off that character. We just changed this thing entirely.
Mm-hmm.
No, we can go a different direction. We can do another story side by side with that one that goes a little bit different direction.
Which honestly,
you know, it's still not impacting anything
else. I've always loved those comics too, between What If, Marvel had the Age of Apocalypse stuff for a while. DC has the Elseworlds. Like, what if Superman had landed in Russia as a baby instead of the U.S.? Things like that. And, like, different time periods, like Gotham by Gaslight with Batman being alive back in, like, the Jack the Ripper era. I love those because, like you said, there's no there's no consequence. So you can tell whatever story you want without having to have this thing where the audience emotionally right. invests in a character, and they want to see a payoff for that investment. At the end of the movie, yeah, not maybe everybody survives, but still you walk away feeling like justice was done, and that, you know, hope exists and all of these different things that we want to be true in the real world around us. Well, this gives us a chance to say, well, what if it happened this way? And it doesn't have to break everything else. And I really like that. So plus the artwork on this. I mean, we talked about the voice acting and stuff because they brought a lot of the voice actors back. But I really love this art, this cell shading, very, very fluid animation style. Yep. It's incredible.
Now, something to keep in mind story-wise is that while, yes, these stories are happening in different parts of the multiverse, Marvel has been very clear that that doesn't necessarily mean that the things that happen in this won't impact the mainline MCU.
In fact, I think at least some of them have said that it is technically canon.
Yeah.
Just existing in other.
And they can say that because it's a different multiverse.
Yes,
well, it's canon, sure.
And there have been, I won't go too much in depth, and I don't know, I'm not caught up on Guardians of the MCU or anything like that, if you've already discussed this, but there are some particular, fairly well-substantiated rumors about one or two characters appearing in upcoming live-action projects out of the What If series. And if they're true, one in particular I am very excited about. So.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some real interesting stuff. A season two is already in pre-production.
Good.
They're doing writing on the episodes, and the writing is fantastic. So by all means, Marvel, keep going.
Let's get more of this. Yeah, you know, I've never read the What If comics and the other stuff Eric was mentioning, but I do like the whole concept of alternate history. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the same thing. You get, you know, what would happen if this happened instead of this in this battle or whatever. And these stories are fantastic. I want a what if now for Star Wars.
So interesting that you mentioned that. I was just about to say, for people who want to go back and read some of the What If comics, Marvel Unlimited should have them, I think. If not, there may be other places you can get digital copies. The DC versions, the Elseworlds stuff, are available in the DC app. And there was Star Wars Infinities. They did, I think, a 4-issue limited series. It was either 4 or 6 issues for A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Each as a standalone different story. Those were Dark Horse, I think, but you might be able to find them on Comixology. I'm not sure. And then if you are an X-Men fan, look up the Age of Apocalypse era.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff. It takes place in an alternate, an alternate universe. And some of the heroes are villains. Some of the villains are heroes. There was an Alpha episode. And then each of the X books had an alternate version of it, covering 4 issues of like different teams doing different things. So there were maybe like 6 to 8 different titles. And then there was an Omega episode that kind of wrapped everything up together. Really, really good stuff. And I think it's all collected in a graphic novel as well. So you can find a lot of that stuff digitally or in print in anthologies and stuff. And I highly recommend them. A lot of fun.
Sweet. Let's see. You guys said you wanted to talk about Archer. I don't watch that, so.
Lou.
I know I've been told.
Yes.
Tim already scolded me before.
Every time it comes up, we scold you for it. And it's not getting old. It's not getting old. What do you think of this season, Tim?
You know, I think it's fun. I like what they're doing with it. I still really hope that it's not going to end, and I know that this probably definitely is the final season of it.
Jessica Walters passing.
Yeah, and that's another big part of it. But yeah, it's a fun season. I like the stuff they're doing with it. There's some of the like traditional spy stuff in it, along with other things that kind of just seem to happen, like the last episode on the airplane.
Yeah.
was just a thing that happened, you know, that they were involved in, and hilarity ensues and Archer does his thing. And yeah, you know, and it all works. So I'm enjoying it.
I would say
definitely a lot of roots in the earlier seasons, which has me happy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think last season was better than the previous seasons, and then this season is better than last season. I think that they are continuing to move ahead after that kind of lull at the beginning of the coma seasons. It's kind of sad if this is actually going to be the end, but it's been good.
Yeah, it really has. It really has.
I've got other stuff I've been catching up on. If you guys have run out of things, I don't know.
The only thing that I've done recently, book wise, and not brand new, was 2019, was Delta V, Daniel Suarez novel.
Yeah, you told me you finished that.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't like his last book as much. Mm. Change Agent. That was a bit off in story. Because his stuff is good. It's really high tech, really good detail. He does a lot of research for the stuff. It's just that story just didn't sit well with me, I guess. But Delta V, entirely different story from what he's done before. It's about space exploration and mining asteroids and making that pay off and so forth. And it's a really well done story. Good character development, good story, good thriller.
Yeah, I added that to my Audible after you had told me that it was really good. I was a little worried after Change Agent as well, but a lot of his earlier stuff, Demon and then the follow-up to that, Freedom TM, both just great. Like, I love those in the same way I love
Influx.
Ready Player One.
It was good, too.
Influx was really good. Kill Decision was very good. Not quite as good as Influx or his first two books, but still solid. I wouldn't pick up Change Agent. But if you like near future techno thrillers, definitely pick up his stuff. Yeah. Neither of you guys are Billie Eilish fans, I assume, right?
I mean, not hardcore. Okay. I appreciate her music.
Okay. Disney Plus, I think it was, just released out of the blue. I didn't even know it was coming. A concert video she did called Happier Than Ever, A Love Letter to Los Angeles. And it's her performing at the Hollywood Bowl, I think it is. And there's no audience. It's just her on stage, her and her brother and a drummer for part of it. And then for the rest, they bring in the Philharmonic Orchestra. And I normally don't like concerts at all, but including concert videos, because the audio production just sucks. You know, it never sounds like the album does, unless you're Billy Joel, Elton John, Pink Floyd, and like one of a very, very small group of other bands. Concerts sound nothing like albums. I'd rather just listen to the album. This, on the other hand, the production was flawless. It was really good. So if you like her stuff, it's worth watching. If you're not a big fan, but you don't mind her stuff, it's really good, like background, you know, do house cleaning or whatever you're going to do and just have it on the background. It was pretty good. You guys know Manifest got picked up, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now that that's gotten picked up, I've gone back to watching it again, and it's good so far. The new season of Titans, you guys, Titans fans, at all, the live action Teen Titans series. No. Okay, well, I guess I can't ask you any questions about what you think now that it's moved into Gotham and, you know, so-and-so is dead and so-and-so has been brutally murdered and so-and-so's turned traitor and wow.
I've heard it's very good.
It's
people
great.
Have said it's fantastic. They've said it's really intense.
It is. It's
there's a lot going on with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's just simply it's a you know, bandwidth of life issue.
That's fair.
You know. So
I really like it. I think it's easily one of the best DC projects out, if not the best DC project. I think it is
wow.
I mean, it's not flawless, but comparatively speaking, I can't think of another DC project that is better than this, including the Snyder Cut, any of the films.
Cool.
Like this is one of those few things where when it's on, I drop what I'm doing to go watch it. It's that good.
Nice.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Yes? No?
I've seen a couple episodes of it.
No,
years.
Yeah,
that's about
I haven't
it.
Watched it.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the final season of that, and it's pretty good, too. I guess that's about it. There's the Disney Gallery with the making of The Mandalorian.
I saw that, yes. Just to be clear for folks, this is the second one that they did for the second season.
Yes.
Right.
So season two, episode two of Disney Galleries.
Yeah. The first one came out the week after season two of The Mandalorian ended. This other one came out just last week, and it focuses on, can we say it? It focuses on the surprise character at the end.
If you haven't seen The Mandalorian season two finale, then this is a spoiler. I think that's an adequate warning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's, I thought it was really good. It was really interesting, particularly the discussion on the deepfake stuff.
Yeah.
Which, like, Jon Favreau was really leading the horse down that path on, like, the morality of it. Like, hey, we can do this really freaking cool stuff, but also, you know, some bad actors, and I don't mean screen actors, bad actors in the world, criminal organizations can use the same technology fairly easily, apparently, and fairly inexpensively, apparently, to create things that are rather unsavory.
But for those who are having that argument, here's my counter argument. They're already doing it. So why can't we also have it in The Mandalorian? Like, why can't it also be used?
Right.
Like,
right.
Not using it in the good ways does not stop it from being used in the bad ways, because that's already occurring.
True.
So, and it's been being used to an extent for a while. I mean, if you look back to The Phantom Menace, which was 1999, I think, there were scenes in the lightsaber battle with Darth Maul, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon, where Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor's faces were painted on over the stunt doubles.
Oh.
Not exactly deep fakes, because, like, they had the actual actors and they could actually film the face and then just kind of cut and paste it. But, right. I mean, we've effectively been doing that sort of thing. And again, you know, this isn't one of those things about using Elvis or JFK or something like that. Mark Hamill is still there. He was there on set. Didn't realize, and I was surprised by, he actually got in costume and was marking out the scenes.
Yeah.
Which is
awesome.
So, I mean, and it has his blessing, obviously. So,
yeah,
it's all good.
It was
a good episode. Anything else?
That's all I got.
There's a new MMO coming out September 28th. If you guys want to play, let me know. I've already got in a guild with some other people. It's already set up.
What is it called?
New World. It is it is now out of beta. They're delaying the release so they can work on fixing some things that cropped up in beta, which I am glad they're delaying the release. EA, if you're listening, that's how you develop video games. If they're not ready to come out yet, you don't put them out yet. It's real simple. I don't understand why this has been so confusing for you as a company for the last couple of decades, EA. But Amazon, of all people, seem to be doing it right. I got invited to it. I've been by some people I know in person, not like an email invite or something, but so I did some research, YouTube videos and stuff like that. It looks pretty solid. So, you know, if you guys are interested, let me know.
Cool.
So that's all I got.
Okay. I guess that wraps up for this week. Eric, why don't you take us
all
out?
All right. Well, we will be back Tuesday night for yet another attempt to cover Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins. but with Robin this time, which will be nice because I miss Robin because we haven't seen her in a long time. I haven't seen you guys in a long time either, but haven't seen her either. So she'll be back for Movie Chatter. That'll be 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll be back next weekend, hopefully with Force Chatter. And we're actually going to bring back the news. We had a lot of stuff to review this week, so we figured let's get the reviews caught up, and then we'll go back into the news and kind of see what's going on. But news has been kind of slow. I think the summer months seem to be a little rough.
You know what we got to bring back? We got to bring back
Trailer Breakdown. Yes. Yeah, because we had some good trailers come out recently.
Did you see Red Notice?
I did. That's a good looking trailer. I tell you what, maybe next week. Why don't we plan to do an episode of Trailer Breakdown?
I like it.
Does that sound good?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. It's a plan. So we'll bring that back. There are definitely some trailers that that we need to cover. So both of you guys, and then you out there in the audience, if there's trailers you want to see us cover, send them to us. Email us at randomchatter@randomchatter.com, or hop into the Discord server and you can message us there. If you go to randomchatter.com/escapehatch, that is our Discord server that we are hanging out in, and let us know what trailers you want us to cover and we'll throw them in there. I miss covering trailers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we've had trailers for and no movies, so hey.
Right.
That'll be nice once that starts happening again. But that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. Thank you to everybody here in the chat room with us watching live. And, you know, we've kind of missed you guys. We're glad to be back after the August break. And we will be back. See you guys in a week.